Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Antoine Medley. I'm the host and creator of the Force Pivot Podcast, and welcome to the show. We made it back again, season one, episode six. Last week, we had a really, really, really good discussion with Craig Stokes. If you didn't catch that one, you know, you can go again. You can go catch it on all the podcast platforms that are out there. We're fortunate enough to have our podcast any and everywhere you can find it, because I know I go looking for it sometimes, and when I see it in certain places, it baffles me. So, you know, I want to hope you guys can go check it out, listen to all of our old shows, you know, listen to them, give us a rating, give us a review, let us know how we're doing, and hopefully we're headed in the right direction. Because again, you know, this thing is brand new to me, but you know, I feel like we're making progress, right? You know, as long as we continue to do it, hopefully the better things will get. And so, you know, because again, this here is a forced pivot for me, as in, you know, I'm pushing myself out of my own comfort zone, trying to figure out some things, trying to find out, you know, what direction I want to go in with this, and hopefully it'll help me get to some other places that I'd like to go. I've done a lot of different things in my past, and you know, there's never been any fear to do anything. So, you know, even with this, it's like, okay, well, I've never done this before, but I'm not afraid. So I'm going to do it, because, you know, I mean, what am I hurting? I'm not hurting anything by doing this. I'm hopefully the guests that we've had in the past has the only thing they've done is help people, because I know, you know, they've helped me, because I've gotten a lot from the different guests that we've had on, a lot of motivation, a lot of, you know, it's a lot of our conversations have been just simply therapeutic for me, because I'm in a time in my life where I need that. I mean, I don't need any garbage in my mind. I don't need anything seeping into my head that just means nothing. You know, everything that comes into my head, I want it to mean something, you know. And sometimes, you know, I scour the internet and scour social media at times, and I run across things that just, like, you know, stop me in my tracks. You know, I was on LinkedIn today, just looking around, and a friend of mine posted something on LinkedIn and just blew me. It just stopped me in my tracks. And, you know, I had to call him. I was like, you know, I hit him on LinkedIn. I was like, man, thanks for sending that. I was like, I needed that. And I said, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to steal it, and I'm going to post it on other social media platforms as well. And then he hit me back, and we had a little conversation. And so hopefully we're going to, you know, plan some time to get together and, you know, meet up, break some bread, you know, just, you know, sit back and talk. I mean, we've been friends for a long time. So I want to shout you out, Wayne White. I want to shout you out, man. You know, thanks for sending the note that you sent, because it helped me. And I'll share it with you. He posted something that said, sometimes the right path is not the easiest one. And, you know, that stopped me in my tracks, because I understand that completely. You know, I mean, we make pivots in our lives, and, you know, and sometimes we're forced to make those changes in our lives, and they're not easy. But, you know, if you're an eternal optimist like me, you'll see them as a challenge, right? And that's how I see everything. I see everything as a challenge. And I tell myself, well, Antoine, you can't fail, you know. Because, you know, I know what I'm going to put into things. So I tell myself, well, you can't fail. So why not? Just go ahead and try, you know, because it's going, whatever you do is going to be okay. You know, it's not going to kill you to try. You know, I'm not saying I'm trying to go jump some buses on a motorcycle or something, you know, that's different, but you know, just other natural things in life and things that you want to go do, you know, hey, I mean, go for it. Because, you know, I decided, hey, I want to go back to school. So I went back to school and got my MBA. You know, I was writing papers, and one of my professors tried to get me to go get my doctorate. And she was like, Antoine, this paper is doctorate material. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't have a desire to do that. You know, Dr. Antoine Medley does sound good, but I don't think I'm ready to do that. So I'll leave that. I'll leave that to other people. But again, you know, thanks for joining. I've got another dynamic guest on. You know, this young lady, she's a fourth generation entrepreneur. She's a writer. She's a creator. She's a motivator. She's a mom. When I think about her, I think, you know, there's nothing she can't do. You know, she motivates me. I watch her from afar. And I watch the things that she's doing, and I'm like, man, you know, how does she do all that? But I'm just going to jump right into it. I'm going to bring Jessica Everhart on the line with us, and let you guys meet her, because I know she's going to blow you away, because she blows me away all the time. Jessica, How are you?
Hey, good. I'm texting my mom. She's over here telling me she's watching on Facebook. So I had to give my mom some shout out. Hey, mom.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, one person is definitely watching us tonight, and that is Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Well, that's good. Hey, that's awesome.
Well, so, thank you for having me on here, Dr. Antoine Medley. I'm putting out into the universe.
No, don't do that.
No, we don't want to do it. Okay, we'll take it back.
Let's take that back. Take millionaire Antoine Medley. How about that one? I'll take that.
Okay. Well, okay. Come on, millionaire Antoine. Whatever you need it to be, friend, is what I'm going to say. Right. How about that?
Hey, I'll take it. So how have you been?
I'm good. We're playing a little bit of gymnastics here because I'm in my living room and I've got light rings and windows and everything. So we were talking about that before we jumped on, that it's me against the sun. I'm going to do my best. I have all the lights around me, but you know how this goes. But I'm doing great. You know, I can't listen. We've had a tough couple of years. We all know it. And I'm feeling great about 2022. I feel good about, you know, it's not easy, but I'm feeling good about the energy that I'm feeling from other people. And, you know, it just feels I'm wearing this year a little different than I have in the past. So
I know since I met you, gosh, we met each other, what is it, maybe three and a half years ago now. I mean, because this last two years have been blur. Right?
I know. I think it's been about 4 years, friend.
Right. And since I met you, you're very, you're like my daughter, my youngest daughter. I tell her all the time, I'm like, Clark, you're an empath. And she looks at me like that. The first time I told her that, she's like, Daddy, what are you talking about? I'm like, Clark, you take on other people's feelings and you want to help everybody that you see that's not doing well, that's not feeling well. You know what I'm saying? And just ever since I met you, you seem that like that type of person. Where you're motivated. You want people to do well. You want people to feel good. And then the things that I watch, you know, like you're talking your 28 day of reinvention. I was just like, there she goes. There she's doing her thing, trying to help people, you know, and help herself, you know, because we help ourselves. If we help ourselves, we help other people.
1,000%.
So tell us a little bit about that, the 28 day reinvention.
Yeah. So that this program, so I, just a little bit of, background, I've been in corporate, just a little background on me. So they know kind of where I'm coming in on this program, but you know, I've been in corporate America or in some semblance of, you know, a 9-to-5 for decade, 20 years. And about maybe seven years in, I started my own business. Right. And I am a fourth generation entrepreneur. So entrepreneurship is definitely in my blood. And so I got my real estate license, right. I did a little Pampered Chef. I did a, you know, pick a thing. I did it Arbonne. Right. you know, cause I always felt like, well, it's just cheaper to buy the package. I don't know. I'll just say I'm going to sell it. Right. So I did those things and then I started to get seriously into entrepreneurship and make investments in my business and start to scale and scale in the sense of like the investment. I started to think about like bigger clients and growing the portfolio. But I continued to keep my 9-to-5. The reason why I'm saying this is that the 28 day program is all about reinvention. And I have worked, I've worked in many different sectors, sports and entertainment. I was a producer for football games for basketball and NFL and NBA in Ohio. So the Bengals, the Browns, and the Cavs. And I then went and worked, well, right out of college was working in finance with General Electric, right? Then I went and grew up to Girl Scouts and did the nonprofit thing because I wanted to give back to the world. And that was amazing to work with those young people. A lot of people here in the Triangle know that I worked with Capital Broadcasting Company and the American Underground and co-founded Black Wall Street Homecoming while I was here. And then where we met was Leadership Triangle, where I was the executive director of that organization, learned a lot. And it was during that process that where I was in the, I was a student, I was in class just like you were. Mm-hmm. In 2012 and 2016, and then became the executive director at the end of 2016, where this idea started to percolate, knowing that so many of my pivots, because I love the name of your podcast, so many of my pivots, many of them were forced. Some of them were by design. But either way, most cases I was sort of alone in my head. I hadn't really mastered like partnerships and relationships and this whole idea of a board of directors and all that stuff. I was doing so much of it on my own that I thought, well, it might be a good idea to think about what I've learned, what lessons I would teach around this, you know, and start a business. It's like meta. It's very meta because I left in the pandemic to start a company about reinvention. So it was like I was teaching it and doing it at the same time and not getting it all right. But certainly, you know, there wasn't anybody closer to that subject matter than me in that moment. And so 28 Days of Reinvention is exactly that. It's 28 day program. It's a cohort format. So women come together. We usually have no more than six because it's very intimate and the things women share about their journey and what they want to accomplish in their dreams are very special, very important that they feel like they're heard and seen every week. And so we take them through a week to week program. I have my book over here somewhere, you know, they go through a workbook that we designed, you know, it's very professional videos, the whole thing. And then with me every single Sunday, these women come together and we process the week prior and we're really taking them on a journey, a road trip. We're taking them on a road trip to their dream. And that could be to be, you know, to, it could be a lot of things. It could be, you know, I want to go from middle management to senior executive and I want a pathway to that. It could be I want to resign and start something new in the same industry, but a different company. It could be I want to go into an entirely different field of work, go back to school, start a new business. It could be anything. But the thing is, you said it best in the opening, and I was listening in, you were talking about your comfort zone, you know, getting out of your comfort zone. Right. What matters, I think, right now is that we experiment, that we get brave around our dreams because we only have one life to live, right?
Yeah. I agree so much. And like I said, I mean you know that you have one life to live, and I've always known that, but when my brother passed in August, it just sealed it for me. It was like you got to do all you're going to do now, because you don't have tomorrow, you know, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. And it's, you know, things are so fragile, and you can't sit back and say, you know, I work in the field, you know, doing some agile stuff. Right. And it's like, you can't wait until it's all done.
Yeah.
Just do it. You got to just do it. Yeah. You know, and I mean, the model that you just mentioned about the 28 day reinvention, I was like, wow, that's what we did with the leadership triangle. Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, that's smart. I mean, you let us do that. So why couldn't you go do that on your own? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
We had a guest last week, Craig Stokes, and he got the clearance to get a franchise for Chick-fil-A.
Right. Okay, good. And so that's great.
His Chick-fil-A was going to open, I think he said March or April of 2020.
Okay. Wow.
So he opens his Chick-fil-A
as soon as the world shut down.
As soon as the world went,
like his grand opening, and then it was like so much for that. See in 2 years.
Right. So I mean, with your business, were you doing something? Were you launching something right around the time that things were getting crazy?
Yeah, it's a great question. I launched my entire company on July 1st of 2020. So I left my six figure job. And full benefits. I'm just saying it all because for entrepreneurs, this is the thing we say to ourselves. I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to leave my steady check. I'm going to leave my benefits. I'm going to leave the security. And I call it this, you know, I didn't coin this, obviously, the safe zone. But I think about a comfort cliff that we're all on it at any given point. We're on this comfort cliff and we're either in the safe zone, which is where I was, the empowerment zone, which is where you start to practice what you need to take the leap. And then you get to the growing edge. And that's where you see all the potential of what your dream is. And you choose in that moment, do you have what you need to take the leap? And on July 1st, even though I was working from home, I had prepared my team that I was leaving, my organization that I was leaving in the middle of a pandemic. to their dismay, they were all like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And they said, this was really cute, actually. My board chair was like, Jess, this thing is going to blow over. We'll be out of this thing probably by the end of the year. Just hang in there. Why don't you just stay, you know, and take it easy. You know what I mean? Like the rest of the world. Why are you starting a company?
Right.
Just take it easy, girl. And do the things.
And you're not just doing it on the side, right? You're not just doing, you're like, see you later. I'm cutting the cord.
Cut my check. And I went into my business with, luckily I had 3 great clients and I tripled my income the very next day. But now let's be clear. That sounds like, oh, it's amazing. It was work. I mean, I was preparing and laying the pathway to be able to do that so that I could comfortably jump. But I've been working really hard to get to the point where I felt like I could do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you were forced to do that? Or do you?
No. Unless you think about it in terms of like being true to myself. So, you know, if you're asking it that way, then absolutely 100%. I was probably a little behind, probably should have done it sooner. But I definitely didn't feel forced. In fact, I logic would say I shouldn't have done it at the time that I did in the middle of pandemic. But, you know, there have been other times where, you know, reinvention is forced upon you. And that's just, you know, something within your company or some changes in your department or you get laid off. That's forced reinvention. Like, we don't have a choice. Frankly, let's also be honest. When you say pivot and reinvention, to me, those are very similar. And so the definition of reinvention is the act or process by which something is changed so much that it appears entirely new. And we can, if we take that definition and we lay it on top of, I've been thinking a lot about this, as you can imagine, they have this definition memorized, but you lay it on top of what we've just experienced, the entire globe just reinvented itself. Right. So we were all forced to pivot. And we know this is not even like, I'm not saying anything new, but we should think about it that way. Like you're different now, we're all different now. And to require ourselves to go back into what we were doing before is silly. So it will never be the same.
Yeah. Cause you think about how far things did go, how far we changed. Just like to go back is like to go way back.
Yeah.
Right. Why would you put the energy in doing that?
And again, you're entirely new. So we have to see that it's over. Like the thing that you want to go back to isn't real anymore. It's over. Like we're entirely new. So now we start fresh, which I think is exciting. A lot of people get scared around that. I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I'm a Marvel fan. I sort of think about it like, you know, it's like, you know, Spider-Man got bit and he became Spider-Man. Right? So why would he go back to before he got bitten?
Right.
You know, that's so far to go back. Yeah. It's like once the Hulk became green, he stays green. Why would you go back to David Banner? Why would you do that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you've got so, and plus you've got so much further to go in the future, right? I mean, because that's still sort of, you know, no day is promised to you, but that's sort of an endless thing as long as you're still here, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're here, as long as you're here, you can keep moving on, you know, and I'm a firm believer in that. As long as you're here, you can keep going. As long as you can keep going, you know, why not go? Exactly. Why not go? Man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. So,
you know, and I've done some things, and I would say in my extracurricular career, you know, not in my 9-to-5, but I mean, as far as like, you know, I've started some nonprofits, I've done that work, and it's just like, you know, I mean, it was enjoyable work, but it's just like I don't think it grabbed me enough to just say, you know what, I'm gone. I'm leaving this 9-to-5 thing and I'm going to go do this. Now I know professionally, you know, I made a decision because I work in IT, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, you know, and I'm not getting any younger, you know, and I don't want to stay super duper technical. I didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, it's time to reinvent myself.
Yeah.
I started going down the road of some different, you know, different frameworks and things like that as a certification. And then I decided to go back to school, you know. And that was all a reinvention, That was just all to say, you know what? I got to make a different Antoine. I got to stack something on top of this 20 years of IT experience. I got to put something on top of that to make me better, something that'll carry me on to the future. Because, you know, that's the key. It really is just if you're going to reinvent yourself, you know, you do it in a way that's going to project you forward, not just keep you moving slowly where you are. Right.
You are kind of a model in that, just having, you know, spent a chunk of time with you with Leadership Triangle. You were very much like that. It's not like you had to do it. You wanted to do it. Like, you kind of seek out professional development. Think about it. You're always trying to be better. I mean, even this podcast is optional. You're doing it because you want to, not because you have to. Right. And I think that's really cool. I think, you know, not everybody has that in them, and it's everybody to each his own, but I really do love that you lean into that element of your character, because it makes your life richer, I think, and more interesting. Yeah. But that's the thing I try to challenge people with, is like, do different things, enjoy different, you know, take a little bit of a risk, go in territory that is unfamiliar, because it just makes you, frankly, more interesting of a person.
Right. It makes me more. There you go. When you get around a bunch of people, you got more to talk about.
That's 100% right.
And we were talking earlier, and I told you I wrote a children's book, right?
Yep.
I wrote a children's book. It's called the Epic Journeys of Morgan and Clark. It's a children's book.
That's cool.
And I told myself, okay, it's going to be a series. So I'm like, okay, I got to start working on the next one, right? It's the Epic Journeys of Morgan and Clark, Running with Harriet. It's a book about my daughter. My two daughters, Morgan and Clark.
Yeah.
They're on an expedition with Harriet Tubman. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I gotta get the next one out. Cause I remember when I was doing some other work in the community, I wasn't doing it in the community, but my wife and I, you know, all the Santa Clauses in my house are African American.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes,
so when we took our kids to the mall, they were like, Daddy, where is our Santa? He's not
Where's the Black Santa?
That's exactly what they asked for. Mm-hmm. And when they said that to me, I went into action. I set up a location, got a Santa suit, had somebody dressed up as Santa, and there we are. We were giving pictures. and this was probably, my youngest daughter is 17. So this was probably 13 to 14 years ago. There were no Black Santas in Wayne County.
That's amazing, friend. First of all, you can't solve all the world's problems. I just want to remind you, friend, that just because you can doesn't mean you should. But I do appreciate in that moment that you solved that for your girls. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I got to do it, because I'm like, okay, if I can't find them somebody, then what I'm going to do? I can't keep them asking me about it. Uh-huh. Daddy, so where's our Santa? So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Not take them in the mall, you know? Yeah. But you know, hey, you know, my daughters are funny, and I told my wife we're on a we're like 15-month countdown to the empty nesters. So, you know,
ooh, that's exciting. Okay, normally I would never do this on a podcast, but because we're friends, I'm moving so that I can see me. I feel like this is family. Nobody cares. Right, everybody's good. See, look, there I am. Hello.
There you go. More light.
There we go. The sun set around me, and this little light ring isn't really hanging with me. So,
right.
All right.
So question. The Black Wall Street Homecoming, is that still going on?
We put pause when pandemic happened, team hasn't reconvened. I mean, Black Wall Street Homecoming as a brand is still alive and well. Tobias Rose, who's one of our co-founders, still does some content and uses the Black Wall Street brand. But as far as the conference hasn't been reinstituted. And it's a very good question. I think we, interestingly enough, all of our co-founders, there were four of us, we all did something different, except for Tobias, because he's a business owner and has been for many years, is very successful. And so he didn't like up and start something new. He did branch out and do some different things. But the rest of us, we all started something new. I started a company. Tobias is in investing now, and he's like deep into that work, impact investing. And Dee started a new position as a global lead of diversity for a company. So we're all kind of in different directions. But what does tie us together is Black Wall Street Homecoming. And so I think people should just kind of keep an eye out.
So what was it? It was just a conference of what in Durham?
Yeah. So we created Black Wall Street Homecoming as our answer to the lack of funding for Black entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Like, as we know, there's an egregious gap in funding, venture capital, angel investing, friends and family. Like, to get our businesses up and off the ground is a Herculean effort at times. And so, and we find that there's a big group of necessity-driven entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs that in order for them to make ends meet at the end of the month, they have a side gig, they have the side hustle. And so what Black Wall Street Homecoming did was bring that community, whether it's tech and scalable and multi-million dollar idea, or a mom and pop, or, you know, a smaller business. We brought all those founders together for a couple of days, for a week, and helped them, you know, provide them mentorship, gave them an opportunity to be with it in the culture, right? Which is very important, is that we create space where we can be in our culture and not have to assimilate into other cultures, but just be in our culture, had a house party, you know, had pitch competitions, had our mentorship, had people that looked like us on stage that were a little further ahead. And so we basically, if you can see it, you can be it kind of theme. That's what that week was about.
Okay. Yeah, man. That sounds great.
Yeah,
it was so neat.
Now that I've said it, I'm like, oh, we need to bring that back, because that was good. I mean, it was good. We this will be year seven for us. I mean, this wasn't a notion, and we lifted it for 5 years. So it was a great effort. And by the way, I tell you, the people that came into Durham that we had as speakers or as judges for our pitch competition are like on covers of magazines, selling their companies. Millionaires now. I mean, the folks that we had the opportunity to really see and work with and be coached by or just hang out at my house, because this is where the house party was, you know, they were building then. And just within 5 years, they're now selling, starting new businesses, and they're creating a lot of wealth for their families and for those that they communicate with, you know, or that they impact. I shouldn't say communicate, but those that they impact, their families and communities. It's very cool.
I mean, when I think about the title of the podcast, and I think about like all the work that you do for yourself, and then all the work that you do helping other people, it's like you're like a master pivoter. It's like you're the pivot whisperer. Like,
ooh, well, that's
yeah, you're like the pivot whisperer, man. It's just like that. You know, you help people sort of. You don't tell them what to do, but you help them to find their way to change, right? Yeah. Whether it's community work or whether it's corporate work, entrepreneur work, personal work, you know, I mean, and that's one thing that I've always seen in you. It's just like, man, she's just like, she can motivate people. She can just help people, you know, find their way. Right. Because a lot of times that's all people need. They just need, you know, you're like a therapist. It's just like a therapist. And they're not going to tell you anything. They're just going to help you find your way, you know. And so, I mean, that's awesome.
I appreciate that. I take that as a compliment.
You've been doing this for a while. And I mean, now you're like, I'm doing this full time on my own, my dime. You know, I'm working for me. So it's like you're the poster child for this, for change, for being ambitious and trying new things. And, you know, because I mentioned to one of the shows that I've got a project I'm working on with and I was working on it by myself, and I was just like, this is too big, you know. And this is one thing that I'm finally learning, that I can't do it all by myself. You know, I've got to get a team of people around me to help me with this thing, because I think it's a viable idea. I think it's something that's needed, but I can't do it alone, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I've got to like, I think it's like three of us. It's like, I'm like, you know, I try to tell the guys, I'm like, hey man, look, this isn't the Antoine show and your assistants. This is all three of us.
Uh-huh.
If you guys see this as a valuable thing, then we're equal partners in this thing. We're going to do it together. It's not going to be, you know, just my show, you know,
right.
You know, and I keep motivating them with that, because don't look at it as in, you know, no, this is all three of us.
Yeah.
All three of us, because, you know, more minds, the diverse minds are better, you know, because I know I darn sure can't think of everything, you know, so I need other people to help me do that. But this is, yeah. it's something that I'm working on. I'll get with you offline and I'll mention it to you and see, okay. Just see what you think. And
I'd love to hear about it and see if there's any insight. I don't know that I have any insight, but I might have some, or at least be able to provide a recommendation. Right. Some people, anybody that could help or support you. But
yeah, and everybody that I tell about it, that you know, no one has told me, you know, and some people just say, oh yeah, it's a good idea for the sake of sense, a good idea. But, you know, I mean, I've kind of done some research and I've talked to some people, and I'm doing my little focus groups to say, what do you think about this? And they're just like, man, this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll have to chat with you offline about it until I'm ready to tell the world about it.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you've got everybody who's watching kind of like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
What is this thing? What are we talking about? But one of the things you just said, I think for our audience's purposes, if we have folks who are entrepreneurs or those who want to be entrepreneurs, this is like now sage advice. You know, it was a real hot thing about 7-8 years ago, but it's not the hot thing anymore. It's just, it's practical. And that is, if you're starting a business, you said, you know, you've done the research or looking out into the marketplace, whatever. If you are thinking about starting a business, the first thing I would do with your idea is run it through very quickly. Just run it quickly, meaning like take a couple of days, run it through the Lean Canvas model, which you can find online. So this is democratized. Just go out online. You'll find 1,000 versions of it, but it should be one page. It should be a grid, and it's going to tell you to put your idea in there. It's going to ask you very thoughtful, provocative questions around your business and help you frame your business model. And there will be points where you get stuck. Like, it's going to ask you who your competitors are. And if you don't know that, you need to stop and figure that out. Like, that's how it does. So it's like pushes you along. And by the end, that one page will be the blueprint for your business. And it'll also inform you whether or not you go or you stop. It's the stop, go. It's the red light, green light. And either way is a good thing. So if you're red lighted and you're like, this isn't viable, I'm realizing now because of the Lean Canvas that the market is saturated, I'm not going to be able to be successful in this market, whatever. The red light means good. You just saved yourself time and money. So great. There's nothing wrong with that. It means that you had a good idea, but it's already been thought of 100 times. So leave it alone. If it's a green light, because you feel like I can enter the market, I can take a position that I have a differential value proposition in the marketplace. What I'm offering is unique. It might be similar, but it's distinctly different enough that I can get potential traction. That's a green light. Go. That's good. So good. Both are good, but the process, do not skip that process.
And I, that's one thing I learned in my MBA program was that, you know, because my concentration was in advanced management, and we went through all those processes. And while I was in the Leadership Triangle program, we went through the Lean Canvas model. Right. And that blew me away. And then I ran it across it in my studies, and my last big paper I had to write, that was in there.
Yeah,
that was definitely in the paper.
But you would be surprised, Antoine, how many people don't know, especially people that look like us. They don't know about this Lean Canvas because I don't have an MBA, so I didn't go to, you know, Wharton School of Business or Fuqua. That's not what I'm doing. I didn't do that. So I learned because I was in the startup world, and learned about it. And so I think it's really important that we talk about it and never assume that people know these things, because, you know, and I'm not even just saying people of color, I'm talking about just anybody who's an entrepreneur. If you're not in the world of that, or you don't have friends who have entrepreneurship background or family, you're not going to know what I'm talking about until I say the thing. So go look that up. It will save you, like I said, the time and money, because you don't want to do this exercise after you've dropped $5,000 on a website.
Right.
Right. You know, registered your business, decided you wanted business cards, which I highly don't agree with anymore. But like, say you wanted to, you know, the whole placard on your car, all the things you want, because those are the fun things to do with the business is to market yourself. And you realize there's no chance of you making money. So
I think I heard a quote recently is like, a business is not a business until you make money. Right. Yeah. Everybody's launching companies. Yep. Right. Yep. But you know, with the lean canvas model, and there's another framework that I fell into that just like blew my mind that I haven't been able to shake. And I sort of use it all the time. It's called design thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, and the first thing you do is you put yourself in the situation of the customer, your potential customer. You know, you empathize with them and you figure out what they want. And but because you could build something, and I talk about this, I think about this at, you know, even at my job sometimes. It's like, you know, why are we, you know, we're building this, we're building that, you know, we're building different technologies and things like that. But I'm like, well, did anybody ask for that?
Yeah.
You know, if nobody asks for it, it's like, well, why are we doing it? You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Now that's a really good point. That's excellent. But it's like, does it a market fit? What is the market demanding right now? And also prototyping, like with design thinking, one of the keys there is to prototype. Is literally you could make something in 2 hours and create a prototype mm-hmm. of what it looks like. And we did that with my business. We beta tested my business. I mean, we didn't just assume or make presumptions that the market wanted what I thought they wanted based mm-hmm. on my own experience. I'm very close to my business because I'm doing it every day, but I'm not an expert in the sense that I can speak for all women across the globe about what they need in any given time. And so for me, the beta testing process that we went through last fall was crucial. And I almost fought it because I was ready to go to market. I'm serious. But I have people on my team. So I went from being a solo entrepreneur to now we have about 5 people on a team. And I say about because we have interns. We have 2 interns. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we have 6 people, 2 interns included. And I was like, I'm ready to go to market. I've spent a lot of my own money. I'm invested in this thing. I believe in it. I know it's going to work, blah, 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 blah. You know, because it's your idea. It's very personal.
Right. It's your baby, right?
It's your baby. And one of our team members / advisors was like, no, we have to beta. We have to beta. And I'm so glad that we did. He's the only guy on the team. So I'm not going to give the man credit, but I'm going to say that he was a great advisor. He's just in general, a great advisor. And he, for my women's program, right? So he was a great advisor. And he said, no, we have to beta. And thank God, because in that fall cohort, our beta was so amazing. These women were bought in. They had an amazing experience. The feedback was really phenomenal. And I say that just like, I was shocked. You know, you don't usually expect to get that kind of, but it's so personal that of course it either worked or didn't. They were either going to love it or hate it. Correct. But they gave me very specific ways to improve my product. And we took the very next month and we dug in hard. My team met in person many, 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 many times over the holidays to get it right. And then we relaunched our 2.0 within 30 days. We had a better product for the customer within 30 days because the beta test was so, so critical.
That's good. I mean, then again, the iteration on it, right? That's the key. And like we talked about books, right? You write this book, it's out there. But other business things, you can't just throw it out there and think it's going to what you throw out there is going to be good enough to stay in the next year.
Things
happen so fast, right? So it's not going to last a year because somebody else is going to could pick it up and do it better than you. And the next thing you know, you're behind in things. So things are always having to change. And like with the thing that I'm working on, we're getting ready to do the same thing. We're like, you know, let's beta test this thing. Let's do it and see what happens. And you know, we're kind of building the plane. You know, I heard somebody in my training class that you were building a plane as it's falling from the sky. You know, it doesn't have to always be the best plane. I don't have to build a 747. I just got to build something that'll glide, right? Yeah. So I won't hit the ground too hard. But, you know, I'm really bought into this whole agile thing. It's just like iterate, make it better. Iterate, make it better. You know, test it, beta test it. You know, get your feet. And like you said, get your feedback. And that's crucial, is getting that feedback so that you can do it better.
Yeah. And with our program, we run it every month. So it's almost like a laboratory. monthly. We change it. We're changing language. We're thinking about, you know, reorganizing certain things. And every month we, our team meets at the end to just debrief, you know, plus delta, where we at, how do we change it? How do we make it better? And we have that luxury, because we're small and we are agile. So we can improve our product every 30 days, which is pretty remarkable.
That is remarkable. That is remarkable. But Jess, I tell you, I wasn't going to keep you all night. We're coming up on 40 minutes. So I promise you, I wasn't going to keep you long, but this has been good for me. And I know somebody who, whoever hears this, is going to help them,
good.
You know, in some way. So, you know, I hope the Lean Canvas Models webpage just blows up.
I know. I mean, there are thousands of them. So somebody's going to, get a hit.
Right. So just go to Google and look up Lean Canvas Model. Go to Google, look up design thinking. You know, this stuff is, you know, because when I ran across it, it just like lit me on fire. You know, I was just like ready, you know, losing my mind about it. But it's all free. It's just free information.
Free. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Maybe the last, you're not asking me for tips, but I'm going to give them. I got so many things to say about business, starting a business because I, you know, I've fallen, I've run fast, fallen, got up, whatever.
Right.
Everything you need to know is out there. Like you don't have to, like I've invested a lot of actual real money into my business because we developed a product, but the intellectual knowledge around how to build that business and how to do it, not make mistakes, like learning from others' mistakes. It's all out there. It's open sourced. It's what they call it. So it's democratized. And just, you know, real entrepreneurs are going to put the work in. You're going to stay up a little later. You're going to do the research. You're going to figure out, like I said earlier, what differentiates you in the marketplace. And I'm a big believer in just, you know, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Go out there and learn. Be the best at what you do. Dig real deep and keep learning. Just keep learning because the market is changing so fast.
Right.
Workplace scenarios, culture, everything is shifting. So like I said before, and reinvention is when you look entirely new. We are new. And it is going to require a new set of eyes and a whole new playbook on how you succeed. And that means you have to be up on it. So keep ahead of the game, dig in, go on Google, research. And then follow me so I can give, because I think we're done. So I want people to know where I'm at. And I don't think it's on here, but it's easy because my name is the website. So you can go to jessaverhart.com.
Right.
See the work that I do. It'll take you to the Reinvention Road Trip site, which is where our 28-day program is. And if I have ladies on here who are interested in it, we have a cohort that starts in like 2 weeks. Would love to have you join us. Men, if you're on here and you got women in your life that you think could be, you know, could benefit from the support of other women, where we build you up, love you, love up on you, inspire you. That's my whole jam. So all I get up for is to, that's all I do is want women to reclaim their power and to dig in. So, and we need men to champion women to do that. So.
I agree so much. Well, thank you for your time. And like I said, I'll be reaching out to you for me, you know, and hey, I'll talk to my wife as well.
Good. Well, we need to catch up offline. So I'd love to do that. Anytime.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. Having me on. I appreciate it. Bye everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye. Thanks everybody for listening in. Again, Jess is the, you know, like I said before, she's the pivot whisperer and, you know, she changes lives. I mean, I know a lot of the people that came through the Leadership Triangle program, you know, she's definitely, you know, inspired many of them. You know, she's introduced us all to a lot of things that, you know, we may not have seen before. And I thank her for it. So, you know, I'll let you guys go, but, you know, please listen, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And, you know, we'll definitely, you know, we'll iterate on what we're doing and try to make things better and bring you, you know, more guests, more content, more things that'll feed us all. So thanks, everybody. See you.